Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. We're going to talk Ole Miss and Mississippi State for a little while, and we're glad you've chosen to click in with us a little bit this morning. Mississippi State and Ole Miss, another big weekend. The Bulldogs stepping out of conference play, actually taking on Northwestern State out of Natchitoches, Louisiana, home of Christmas lights and meat pies. And sometimes good football, but not sure how they'll stack up against the Bulldogs. Ole Miss has the big SEC game this week. Last weekend, a lot of attention on State and LSU in that ESPN late show slot. This week, it's Ole Miss and Alabama, number two, Alabama hosting number 15, Ole Miss. The Rebels have not fared well in Tuscaloosa through the years. Lots of teams haven't, but Ole Miss has had some struggles. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll talk about some key matchups in the game. Logan, how you doing, man?
I'm getting through the week. It's Northwestern State week, and as Dan Mullen said this week, they're playing a tough opponent. I've been doing a lot of research on Northwestern State. I really haven't found the tough part just yet, but I guess if we saw anything last weekend, you got to come with your A game. I think Auburn and Arkansas kind of attest to that.
Well, Logan, and a lot of people know that the directional schools in Louisiana have a soft spot in my heart. Now, I am a product of one, although they changed the name to Louisiana Monroe. So I can tell you a little bit about the Demons. I can tell you that that they have had good teams at times during their history. And as I was mentioning to you off air, folks, if you want to look on YouTube and research Vic the Demon and Chief Brave Spirit, you can see a pretty good mascot fight from back in the 90s that turned ugly. It got a little bit more than mascot playfulness, but I'm proud to say the Chief Brave Spirit won the fight against Vic the Demon from Northwestern State. Look, we'll come back to that game. Let's talk a little bit about Ole Miss and Alabama first. Logan, some interesting matchups I see in this game, one of them being the tight ends. You know, a lot of attention for Ole Miss tight end Evan Ingram before the season, a two-time All-SEC performer, a lot of big catches last year, a lot of taking the short passes and turning them into big gains. That was a big part of his game. Did that against Mississippi State a couple of times, okay? He's not had the balls thrown his way much this year. In two games, he's got one catch for 5 yards. Now, part of that has to do with play calling. Now, the Rebels have been throwing it downfield more with Chad Kelly. We've seen the deep ball come back into this offense in games against Tennessee Martin and Fresno State, as the Rebels have scored an average of 74.5 points in their two games. You know, I mentioned on the blog this week, Logan, they've been playing football in the SEC for a long time. So when you do something for the first time, that's pretty impressive. And Ole Miss has become the first SEC team to score 70-plus points in back-to-back games. I'm not thinking they put 70-plus on Alabama. I am thinking Ole Miss goes into this game with a good chance to move the ball and score, which is more than you can say for a lot of their trips to Tuscaloosa. The Rebels averaging just 10.4 points in their last 12 Tuscaloosa games. That goes back to their only win in Tuscaloosa in 1988, a 22-12 victory there on Alabama's homecoming and the day they were to dedicate the new Paul Bryant Museum. That's back in 88. Since then, 12 trips to Tuscaloosa for Ole Miss, an average of 10.4 points. They were shut out there 2 years ago, losing 25-0. It was the first shutout for Hugh Freeze at any level, he told us. I think Ole Miss has a good chance to move the ball and score in this game. A couple of things to watch for. Evan Ingram, I think he's going to have a bigger game than you've seen from him in the last two games. Ole Miss is, they've had so much success with the deep ball. I think Alabama will have a great awareness of that. I think that's going to open up some routes in the middle for Evan Ingram. I think he's going to have a big day for Ole Miss. We'll see. I'm concerned for the Rebels about the offensive line going into this game. No update on Laramie Tunsil and when he might come back into the good graces of the NCAA and be able to play. Ole Miss has announced that he will not play as long as that investigation is ongoing. And there's no indication of when that might end. The sticking point here appears to be a loaner car from a local dealership in Oxford that Tunsil apparently kept too long while his car was being serviced. So that looks to be the sticking point here with the NCAA But Ole Miss, it does not appear, will have Laramie Tunsil. Now, in two games without him, they've managed to develop some chemistry, but this is a gigantic step up in competition. This is not like going from Tennessee Martin and Fresno State to a middling SEC team or maybe another Power 5 non-conference game. They're going to really, you know, the best, the gold standard in the SEC has been Alabama, and that's the challenge that faces an Ole Miss offensive line right now that will be okay with Fawn Cooper at left tackle. He can be an effective player there, but he's not going to be Laramie Tunsil. Few people are. But after Cooper at left tackle, there's a trickle-down effect. That means you have a new starter at right tackle. For two games, it's been a redshirt freshman, Sean Rawlings. I think he'll develop into a good player in time, but this is a big, big challenge for Rawlings, and I'm not sure that he'll be up to it. That's going to be a matchup to watch there at right tackle for Ole Miss. Now, more trickle-down effect. Robert Conyers has won the starting center job, has started there for two games now. He gives Ole Miss a bigger player, bigger than Ben Steele, who started most of last year at center. Conyers has a little bit of a gimpy knee. He's going to play, it looks like. He did not practice earlier in the week. Looks like he'll play, but if Rawlings struggles at right tackle, look for Conyers to move back to right tackle, his natural position, his first position, and then that means you got more shuffle at center there. Maybe Ben Steele going back to that position. Maybe Justin Bell. One bonus for the Ole Miss offensive line right now, Logan, is it looks like they're going to get back Rod Taylor. He was running first team at right guard midway through camp when he sustained a torn labrum. He's going to have surgery after the season. He'll play through the injury. Played a little bit last week. He's practiced this week. And earlier this week, they were running him at first team right guard. Now, you know, he may or may not start there, but they don't waste those reps. So they obviously have a plan for Rod Taylor. But big matchup for Ole Miss against Alabama will be the offensive line and how it performs against the Alabama front seven, the Crimson Tide giving up just 2.4 rushing yards right now per carry in two games. Good defensive front for Alabama, big challenge for the Ole Miss offensive line. And, you know, so far the Rebels have been much improved running the football. So we'll see if that continues.
Yeah, and looking back at Mississippi State's game against LSU last week, State did not get off to a good start. That's the second week in a row that they've started off really bad, kind of bad offensively is kind of the main concern for if you're a Mississippi State fan is just the fact that they haven't been able to put up points. They've only scored 10 points in the first half in their first two ball games on offense. Of course, Brandon Holloway had the kickoff return in the opener versus Southern Miss, but the offense itself has only produced one touchdown and one field goal in the first half, and they really need to get back on track with that this week. Obviously, they finished the game very, very strong offensively late in that fourth quarter, making the comeback against LSU. They entered the fourth quarter trailing 21-6, and Dak Prescott went 6-6 on the next drive, threw a touchdown pass to Deronier Wilson. And then he misfired on the two-point conversion. They called a good play, had Ashton Shumpert kind of leading out to the left, out of the backfield, had him wide open, and Dak Prescott threw it, you know, to the wrong shoulder, and he wasn't able to haul it in. And, you know, that would have tied the game up at that point. You know, then they drive back down the field, and then they just couldn't get things together during that final minute. You know, some bad play calling from Dan Mullen's side of things. You know, he took full responsibility for the last three play calls of that ball game. One of those was the crucial delay of game penalty that turned a 47-yard field goal into a 52-yard field goal, and they brought in Devin Bell to kick that on the final play, and he hadn't attempted a field goal since 2013 against Arkansas, and it's just a tough situation to put a guy that, you know, is that rusty into a game-winning situation. And the kick was a little wide. It was a little short. You know, 52-yarders definitely aren't easy to make for any regular kicker, much less somebody who hasn't kicked in a live game in nearly 2 years. So Mississippi State learned a lot at the end of that ball game. They played really well offensively at the end of that ball game. And we'll have to see how they start off against Northwestern State this week. But it's a crucial game for Mississippi State. They need to get in there. They need to empty the bench. They need to get – you know, playing reps for a lot of those young running backs like Aris Williams and Dontavian Lee. They need to get redshirt freshman quarterbacks into the game, Elijah Staley, Nick Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald played a little bit that final drive against Southern Miss, but really just not a lot of extended reps. And they really need to get those guys some reps and some live games just in case something were to happen to Dak Prescott.
You know, Logan, a lot of people would like to see the SEC move away from FCS games, move away from playing the former Division I AA teams. I'm a fan of this game on the schedule for State and Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss has already had its game against an FCS opponent when it opened up with Tennessee Martin. I like to see this game come deeper in the season for these teams. Last year, after Ole Miss lost the Auburn game, and in the emotional way that they lost that game, they were able to come back the next week and play an opponent in Presbyterian. And, of course, you know, they won big, but that's not the point. They were able to exhale a little bit. They were able to play a lot of people. They were able to rest some people. Now, they didn't play well the following week against Arkansas, but I think many times, you can take that FCS game, especially if it comes late in the season, and treat it almost like an open date in your ability to rest some players. And also, it's a big deal. Look, college football is not at its healthiest if only the powerful schools are healthy. You know, I like the idea of seeing the smaller teams come in, you know, and the thrill that they get by playing in these stadiums and playing these teams on the road. I mean, that's a big deal for those players. But the other thing, Logan, is it's a chance. You know, let's go back to this 9 o'clock start that you had at Southern Miss and go back to the late game with LSU, the late game that I'll have. A lot of fans aren't going to go to those games. You know, a lot of fans, you know, with kickoff times like that, might dial back a little bit and look at games that they might just stay away from. And at that point, you know, they might not go to an FCS game. You know, they might say, look, we've had these late games. You know, we're going to rest a little bit. We're going to not put forth the expense this weekend. And then those tickets get in circulation a little bit, and some, you know, maybe some kids who don't have a chance to get to games much get a chance to go. Logan, have we lost you? Looks like we've lost you. All right, folks, we're going to see if Logan can reconnect a little bit. We'll see if he pops back up on the screen here. In the meantime, wanted to touch more on the tight end situation for Ole Miss. I really think that Evan Engram stands a chance to have a big game here. O.J. Howard, the Alabama tight end, has become a big threat for Alabama as well. He's a little bigger than Engram. If you read the scouting reports on these guys, he's just as fast. But he has become the guy who can stretch the field a little bit for Alabama. Now, they don't have Amari Cooper this year, so they have receivers that are becoming themselves the go-to guys, taking on different roles. So O.J. Howard is a tight end threat for Alabama. Ole Miss fans might remember him as the player to whom Blake Sims was throwing late last year in the end zone when 5'10" Cinquez Golson outleaped 6'6" O.J. Howard and made the interception that will be remembered for years in Ole Miss history, made the interception that sealed the win against Alabama in Oxford last year. But O.J. Howard, a big playmaker for Alabama. Keep an eye on him in this game. Keep an eye on both of those tight ends. Looks like Logan is back. Logan, are you with us?
I think.
Folks, looks like we have some internet connectivity issues at Mississippi State. One other thing I wanted to touch on before we get away, and we'll see if Logan gets back. Chad Kelly. You know, we've had this quarterback competition at Ole Miss. I think really that it drug on a little bit longer than it needed to, perhaps, based on what Kelly has shown in the first two games. I've been really impressed with the poise that he has shown in the pocket. You know, when the rush comes, and there hasn't been a lot of rush in two games, there will be more rush when Ole Miss gets into Tuscaloosa. He'll face a little bit more, but he's shown a lot of poise in the pocket. He's been able to stand there, make his reads, and complete passes, even when he was starting to get a little heat. He's been incredibly accurate, 72.5%. 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, and I really don't count the interception against him. It was one where he delivered the pass right on target, right into the hands of a little bit of a rusty Laquon Treadwell on opening day against Tennessee Martin. The ball hits Treadwell's hands, bounces up in the air. A UT Martin defender grabs it. So the interception goes to Chad Kelly, but he's been extremely accurate. He's spreading the ball around, making big plays. The deep ball has come back into the Ole Miss offense. You know, and again, Alabama's going to be aware of that. I think that's going to open up some things in the middle. But what Chad Kelly's going to have to make sure he does this week is improvise. He's going to feel more pressure than he has in 2 weeks. He's going to feel some heat. He's going to have to step up in the pocket. You may see more called runs for Chad Kelly. Hadn't been a lot of that in 2 games. There's been a little. He is mobile. He can do that. May see a little bit more of that. But you're going to have to see some improvising by Chad Kelly, because I don't think the blocking and the protection is going to be there the way it was in the first 2 games. Logan, you back with us?
I think so, for at least momentarily.
All right. What's going on there at Mississippi State, man? They usually have real good internet. All right, folks, we're going to give this one more try here. We'll see if Logan can hang around. You know, I see the picture. I see him right here. He's back.
This is getting frustrating here. Hopefully I don't let any four-letter words fly on this thing since we're live on the air. At least I think I'm live on the air.
Yeah, we're live right now. I tell you what, I've talked a little bit about Ole Miss and Alabama a little bit more, talking about Chad Kelly, his performance through 2 games, what he can expect in Tuscaloosa. Tell us a little bit more about what you need to see from Mississippi State, where they really need to take a step this weekend. And we can't get away, Logan, without you throwing in the Northwestern State nicknames. We want to get those nicknames in.
Well, you're more familiar with those than I am. I've only covered Northwestern State that one time that Ole Miss played them. I guess it was I can't remember if it was a homecoming game or not. I remember Ed Ogeron was there, and I remember playing against them, or Ole Miss playing against them then. I covered that game. I think they announced like 18,000 at that ball game, and I remember telling Rick Cleveland on the sideline, if I had a handful of rocks, how long would it take me to hit somebody? But, that's really about all I know about Northwestern State from previous experiences. But, you know, what I need to see from Mississippi State this week, I want to see them find an identity on defense. One of the things, they've played pretty well along the defensive line so far in the first couple of games. Richie Brown's played really well at middle linebacker. He's had 11 tackles in each of his first 2 ball games. Also has a sack and an interception. So the front four plus Richie Brown has played really, really well. But Mississippi State struggled against the pass against Southern Miss. Then they turned around and struggled against the run against LSU. Now, obviously, LSU has a really talented running back in Leonard Fournette, and he broke loose a few times and kind of just grinded out that win last week. I think Mississippi State limited LSU to only 71 passing yards last week. They only attempted 14 passes in that ball game, so they were content to run the ball, and sometimes they had success with it, sometimes they didn't. But Mississippi State needs to find their identity on defense. There's a lot of new faces on that side of the ball, and this is a good game for them to find their identity. Obviously, you know, looking ahead, they've got a crucial road game at Auburn the next week, and Mississippi State needs to find themselves. Auburn's kind of trying to find themselves as well. I mean, obviously, they had to squeak out a win against Jacksonville State in overtime last week. So, you know, Auburn has proven to be a little vulnerable, but so has Mississippi State a little bit so far this season. So, they need to get a little bit of their confidence back this week against Northwestern State. Establish the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and that's an area that they struggled last week. Their offensive line, especially for Mississippi State, struggled the left side with Justin Malone and Rufus Warren, kind of got it taken to them a little bit early on in that first half against LSU. Really kind of, I guess, limited what Dak Prescott's effectiveness was, just simply because he was harassed back in the backfield most of the night. And he's proven the first couple ball games he didn't really want to tuck it and run like he did a year ago. He wants to stand back there in the pocket and try to make the throws that he can. I don't know if that's a design thing. I don't know if that's him trying to prove himself to the next level or whatever it is. But Mississippi State needs him to run the ball to get that offense to be as effective as it can be, because we saw last year when he runs the ball, good thing happened for the Bulldog.
couple of things, Logan. One, is Dak healthy? Is there something going on, do you think? Do you notice anything that that maybe, you know, sometimes Dan Mullen doesn't like to talk about injuries. So do you think Dak is healthy? Two, how did State compensate for the fact that that left side of the offensive line was getting beaten early in the LSU game? Because obviously the second half, the fourth quarter, they were able to move the ball.
Well, I think it was a lot of quick passes in that second half to kind of alleviate some of that stuff. And I think the left side actually did get better as that game progressed, that, you know, you didn't see nearly as much pressure from that side. You know, I think, you know, you got a new starter in Rufus Warren, who was a converted tight end at one point, trying to learn that left tackle spot. It's the most that he had ever played in a ball game. So I think it's him maturing, you know, kind of feeling his way out at that spot. But as far as Dak being healthy, I think he's perfectly healthy. And if you look back at last year, he didn't run the ball a whole lot in those first three ball games last year, either against Southern Miss, South Alabama, and UAB. He just didn't run the ball very much. So maybe they're trying to limit it in his runs early on in the year, because last year he did start to wear down. I think he wasn't healthy those last three, four, five ball games of the season. I think just the toll of the wear and tear on his legs, you know, kind of slowed him down as the season progressed last year. So I think they're maybe trying to monitor that a little bit, trying to only run him when they have to. And, you know, it's also – Dan Mullen also mentioned here the other day that it's just his kind of his progression as a quarterback. The game's starting to slow down for him a little bit. He's starting to see a little bit more. And he...
All right, folks, looks like we have lost Logan. Obviously some issues at Mississippi State today. We're going to leave it. We're going to leave you there, folks. We are glad you're able to join us. We think we got a lot of good talk in between Logan going in and out. Mississippi State at home against Northwestern State Saturday. Ole Miss on the road at Alabama. That's an 8:15 start on ESPN. We thank you for being with us, folks. Come back and join us next week.